This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
On this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Stierin, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. By Kurtz 24-Hour Heavy and Light Duty Towing in Litchfield. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. Huff Funeral Homes in Hillsboro, Raymond, and Farmersville. By CTI Tech, bringing 1-gig internet to Hillsboro and beyond. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. By Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And by the Litchfield National Bank. And on this chilly Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much, and don't want to freak anybody out, but 17 shopping days until Christmas.
17?
17, David.
17.
17. That was the fewest days between Thanksgiving and Christmas that we've had in a long, long time. I think about as few as you can have, because Thanksgiving was super late
this year.
So 17 days. Plenty of time.
Yeah.
No shortage of time here.
Don't have any of my gifts purchased.
You got time, David.
Do I?
If I want to get started, though.
I think I'll wait till the 23rd.
Well, that's when you get the best deals.
Yeah,
I actually, was in the Fox 2 News last week or something, maybe the week before.
Yeah.
They were talking about, you know, Christmas trees. They're like a Christmas tree lot, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about some of the discounts you could get. And they actually said, and if you can hold off until December 23rd, you can get like, and it was like a big percentage off. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's waiting until December 23rd? If you want a Christmas tree, why would you wait? If you're that worried about the cost of the Christmas tree, perhaps you don't get a Christmas tree or get an artificial one.
You can buy it that day. Put it up that
That's
day.
That's right.
Decorate it that day.
Take it out that night.
It won't be busy at all.
No. You don't have to worry about watering it. It's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely.
Who buys their Christmas tree 2 days before Christmas?
There'll be no needles on it.
The Charlie Brown tree.
Yeah, Charlie Brown tree. Yeah.
I got my Festivus pole up.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. Rocking it.
Got to get me one of those.
It's solid.
Any trimmings on that or anything?
Oh, no.
No?
Straight aluminum.
That's right.
Straight aluminum. Hey, we want to send out our condolences to Bud Foster and his family, of course. The Nokomis alum, longtime defensive coordinator at Virginia Tech. His mother, 83-year-old Janice Foster, passed away on Tuesday. Her funeral is this morning at 11 o'clock at the Steele Dawson Funeral Home in Nokomis. So condolences out to Bud Foster's family with the passing of his mother earlier this week. And, of course, earlier this year, Coach Foster announced that he will be stepping down from Virginia Tech after 33 years. And he is one of the most respected, renowned defensive minds in all of college football. So keep Bud Foster and his family in your prayers here today. We are a week away from the Tito Shootout versus Cancer. It is upon us once again. It's at Terry's alma mater this year. Lincolnwood High School will have 8 games starting at 9:30 in the morning next Saturday. Sports Saturday will be live at 9:03 next week. And I'm happy to tell you that we will have Brenda, Terry's wife, with us on Sports Saturday next week from the Tito Shootout versus Cancer. And Brenda's going to be there throughout the day, so we look forward to seeing her very much. And our first game will start at 9:30 with Lincolnwood and Hillsboro girls. At 11 o'clock, it'll be Carthenville and Pawnee girls. Then boys action begins at 12:30 with Carthenville taking on Carrollton. At 2 o'clock, North Mac faces Gillespie. At 3:30, it will be Nokomis against Southwestern. At 5 o'clock, Lincolnwood faces Litchfield. Then at 6:30, a girls' matchup has Rochester against Pleasant Plains. And at 8 o'clock, the final game, boys' action, has Hillsboro taking on New Berlin. So we're very grateful to all the teams participating, to all of our sponsors for the Tito Shootout versus Cancer. Very grateful to them. Of course, the money that is raised for the shootout will go to the Montgomery County Cancer Association. They keep everything local, which is huge. Terry was a big supporter of the MCCA long before he ever got diagnosed with cancer. He was a big supporter of that organization. So come out and join us next Saturday, all day long, starting at 9:30, Lincolnwood High School, the second annual Tito Shootout versus Cancer. And John Blank with Shelter Insurance is going to have a very neat halftime of all day games. Make a layup, free throw, three-pointer, half-court shot. In 30 seconds, you get $500. You know, that comes out to, like, a lot of money per hour if you do it.
Yeah, I don't know how to calculate.
It's a good rate.
Right now. Good rate.
It's a good rate.
Good rate.
That's right. So
that layup. That's the first one.
Yeah, you don't want to waste too much time on that.
Right.
Someone will do it. That's my prediction as we sit here today.
Do you have to do it in that order?
That's a good question. I'm going to say not.
I don't know why you wouldn't, because you're getting harder the further back you go. But, I mean, who knows? Maybe you're better at making half-court shots than you are at layups.
There's no way that's true.
Well.
That can't be true.
I would venture to say, in practice, mind you, I made more half-court shots than I did three-pointers. Because I worked on it more.
Messing around. And there is a lot more of that, like... Yeah. Kids now, players now, are a lot better at the half-court shot for that very reason. It's a higher percentage shot than it used to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the key will be getting to half-court with enough time to where you can get multiple cracks at it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be really fun to watch.
Be very fun.
And like you said, yes, someone probably will spend a lot of time on that layup. Someone. One person. All.
Most likely.
Out of the eight tries, one person... Probably will. Not
well, it's like there's pressure. It's like when you're sitting at home playing Jeopardy, you might know some of the answers. Or like Wheel of Fortune, I got that. You know, what's wrong with these morons? Why can't they get that? Then you get up there under the lights. It's like, what's my name?
Yeah. And here's a good question for you. Since let's go ahead and work this out on the air because there's no better time to do that.
Well, no,
than
of course
right
not.
Are we going to be spotting these people? Like, for example, they make the layup to get the ball, but are we going to need to be like underneath the hoop?
So there's going to be there'll be multiple balls provided. So there's not going to be a situation where they have to go chasing the ball around.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that could waste time.
That would waste a lot of time.
Yeah. It's only 30 seconds, so that could be half of it if you're half court.
So that'll be at halftime of all eight games next week. And then we'll also do, like we did last year, after that's over, we'll let people come out, pay a dollar, take a half-court shot. If they make it, they get $2. So that'll be the halftime entertainment next week. And, of course, we'll have our silent auction as well. And the silent auction items have been rolling in, and we got some good items.
So say that again. When is the dollar shot? When is that?
That'll be after the shelter insurance.
Okay.
Shot.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I didn't know what
that was. That was very popular last year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was. I don't know how much money was made on it, but I know a lot of people went down there participating.
A long line at halftime of every game for that.
I lost track a couple times. People just giving me like cash. Hey, keep it.
Take it.
Okay.
And you know we were blown away last year with the support that people showed to Terry and his family at the shootout, and just so thankful that Terry was able to be with us for the first shootout. And unfortunately, he won't be with us here, obviously, for the second shootout at his alma mater. But he's always with us. You know, we all have those memories of Terry in our mind, and those will always be with us. And just looking forward very much to next Saturday at Lincoln Wood. Really hope to see you out there as we will continue to honor Terry and raise money for the Montgomery County Cancer Association. Last night, of course, Steve Kimbrough, he'll be part of the shootout coming up on Saturday. They'll take on Southwestern. But this is his 39th and final season at the helm of Nokomis. They were in Alton Marquette last night. What a ball game it was. It was low scoring. 11-10 was your halftime score. Nokomis took a brief lead in the third quarter, had a chance late to tie, just could not get a three-pointer to fall last night. They didn't make a three-point shot all night long. They were right there. But before the game, Alton Marquette, very classy move, as their athletic director, Jack Holmes, made a little presentation to Steve Kimbrough, recognition of the 817 wins. They had a plaque made up for Coach Kimbrough. And then this was just fantastic. Steve Medford, the Marquette coach, had his entire team go over and shake Steve Kimbrough's hand. And I just thought that was a really awesome gesture. You know, Terry always talked about it's about the kids in high school sports. And, you know, beyond that, what are the kids being taught, you know, outside of the actual athletic event? And when you see a coach instill that into his team, like, hey, This is a legend. We're going to shake his hand. We're going to honor and recognize him before the game. We'll compete after it, but right now, we're going to recognize what this man has done for high school basketball for the better part of almost four decades. So I thought that was really classy, and I mentioned during the football season, I don't know if Coach Kimbrell's ready for the farewell tour he's about to embark on here. It always happens at any level when a guy like Coach Kimbrell, when people know that he's leaving, when he comes into your building for the last time, everybody is going to do something in their own way. And last night, Marquette did it in a very good way as they honored Coach Kimbrell. And for the Skins last night, they played hard. And they're 1-5, went 1-3 in the Stovetop Stuffing Classic. That wasn't a surprise. They lost to Ocal Valley on Tuesday. There was a couple games this week that stood out to me. We'll get to them here as we move along in the hour. The Gillespie girls going into Southwestern and beating the Piasaw Birds earlier this week, that was a big one. Ocal Valley beating Nokomis on Tuesday, that was a big one. And talking to Steve Kimbrough about it last night, I love talking to Coach Kimbrough because he's old school and he's no nonsense. And I said, I was surprised to see you lose. He said, nope, not if you saw us play. Like, didn't play hard. Like, didn't deserve to win. Better team won. And I was thinking about it. Not many times does Nokomis not play hard. You know, they'll lose some games. Everybody loses games. But it's usually not because of a lack of effort and energy. And Coach Kimbrough flat out told me, he's like, they just thought they could show up and win. You know, he's like, we competed against the bigger schools. We beat Ocal Valley by 25 or 30 last year. He thought they could just show up, go through the motions, and win. Didn't play hard. Didn't deserve to win. They played hard last night.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes you can play bad and win and also play good and lose. Last night, Nokomis played well but lost the game. If they bring that type of effort the rest of the year, they're going to be just fine. I mean, you know, Nokomis is 1-5. They've been here countless times.
They've started
0-8
a few times.
It happens, you know, because they play the 3-8s. They play the 4-8s. They're not worried about their record now. But as we get into January and February, they're going to be pushing towards that 20-win plateau. But it was interesting to hear Coach Kimbrough put it. There's nothing. You know exactly where you stand with Steve Kimbrough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he was not happy, as you can imagine, with the effort. And as he said, if you play hard and lose, you can deal with it. Like last night, tough loss. But I guarantee you on the bus ride home, he was proud of his team.
Yeah.
You know, all you can ask is to play hard. You leave it on the floor and let the chips fall where they may. And they had their chances last night against a very good Alton Marquette team on the road. And David, in 2019, when you don't make a three-point shot, it's going to be hard to win.
It's rare.
It's very rare. And Nokomis has good shooters.
Yeah.
Just sometimes it happens.
Getting into Joel Embiid territory.
Well,
the scoreless game.
That's true. That never happens.
No, it did.
It did. Yeah, I can't say it never happens. It rarely happens.
Yeah.
The other game that stood out this week in terms of, you know, kind of a bit of a surprise was Gillespie going into Southwestern in girls action and beating the Piasaw Birds 51-47. Now, Southwestern earlier in the day, had the state rankings came out. They were ranked 10th, and those mean nothing. It's fun to, you know, kind of discuss and whatnot, but it has no bearing on any game that's ever been played. Gillespie, they're primed this year. If you remember last year, they toughened up their schedule. They took some lumps. It looks like they are better for it this year. Of course, they've got that group of juniors who had all the success at the junior high level. Now they maybe have finally got their varsity legs underneath them here. So that's a great win for Kevin Gray and Gillespie. And we'll have to keep our eye on the minors here as this season moves along. The South Central Conference, once again, is just going to be a gauntlet. Maybe not the elite teams that we saw a year ago.
Not 5-21 teams.
Yeah, might not have that, but it's going to be a very competitive league night in and night out. We're going to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to catch up with new Carlinville boys basketball coach David Suits. Got his first Cavvy win last night as Carlinville beat Woodriver 54-29. We will talk to David Suits when Sports Saturday rolls on following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Big day for high school wrestling, the Litchfield Super Duels going on today. Carletonville, Auburn, Porter, Roxana, and Pinckneyville wrestling there. The Civic Memorial Tournament happening today as well. 21 teams, including Vandalia, Jersey, Wood River, Jacksonville, Highland, and Waterloo. Big day for IESA girls basketball, the 7th grade state tournament, the 3A tourney at Auburn, 1 o'clock this afternoon. Staunton takes on Beecher. Staunton is 22-0. The winner will advance into the state semifinals this evening at 6:30. So good luck to the Terriers as they play in the 3A girls 7th grade state tournament at Auburn. Getting set to catch up with Carletonville head coach David Suits here on Sports Saturday. The Cavvies picked up their first win of the year last night. They beat Wood River 54-29. Briley Roper had 16 points. Michael Byatt had 14 for the Cavaliers. Other scores last night, Staunton off to a 2-1 start. They beat Williamsville 36-30. Ethan Booth, a very good start to his year. 22 points last night for the Bulldogs, as Ty Locks has won two of his first three games with Staunton. Litchfield beat Mulberry Grove 47-34. Blaine Stewart had 14 points. John Corso with 11. Lincolnwood winners over Mount Olive 47-24. Eight different Lancers scored. Sam Herman led the way with 9. Trent Markovic had 19 of Mount Olive's 24 points last night. Pena handled Pawnee 78-26. 11 different Panthers scored. Colton Schmitz and Jonah Loft had 11 points each for Pena. Roxana beat Carrollton 61-47. Gavin Huffman had 16 points for the Shells. Athens clipped North Mac 46-44. Auburn down St. Teresa 45-42. New Berlin, they beat South County in double overtime 47-45. It was Porta handling Havana 77-34, the final there. Riverton beat Macon Meridian 69-39. Altamont beat Vandalia 84-70, and a couple of big-time performances from Altamont. Aiden Giras had 35. Caden Earhart had 34. You don't see many high school games where both teammates go for over 30, but that was the case last night for Altamont. Lincoln beat Taylorville 56-29. Teutopolis over Bree Central 54-41. Calhoun, they were winners over Bunker Hill 43-31. Edinburgh beat Greenview 55-53. Muhammad Seymour over Charleston 79-49. Alton topped Jersey 83-66. It was Beardstown beating North Green 85-63. Southeastern, they topped Pittsfield 42-36. Belleville West beat Edwardsville 37-25. Glenwood over Highland 67-23. Springfield High winners over Granite City 57-56. SHG beat Springfield Calvary 61-51. East St. Louis over Belleville East 62-34. Collinsville beat O'Fallon 53-50. Buffalo Tri-City winners over Sangamon Valley 50-35. Effingham beat Mattoon 76-71. St. Anthony over Sullivan Ocal Valley 69-35. Jacksonville Rout beat Springfield Lutheran 61-23. Ocal Valley topped Shelbyville 64-47. Marrero Forsyth winners over Clinton 56-50. Neoga beat St. Elmo Brownstown 44-24. Central A&M over Decatur LSA 64-42. Mount Pulaski beat Cerro Gordo 60-30. Windsor Stuhlstrasse beat Dietrich 64-47. Warrensburg Latham over Argenta Orienta 54-24. And West Central topped Brown County 75-44. At the Kaskaskian Classic, it was Carlisle over Hillsborough 60-39. Drake Vogel had 15 points for the Toppers in the loss, and Greenville beat Flora 51-43. So, coming up today at the Kaskaskian Classic in Carlisle, the final day, you'll have Hillsborough taking on Flora for 7th place. That will be at 3 o'clock. The 5th place game at 4:30 has Greenville taking on Carlisle. And the 3rd place game at 6 will pit Freeburg against Oakville. And the championship game at 7:30 has Pinckneyville facing Woodlawn. We'll be catching up with Greenville head coach Todd Cantrell later on here in the hour on WSMI Sports Saturday. Other games across the area today in boys' hoops. Painted is at Sullivan. Pawnee will be at Buffalo Tri-City with Plains at Deer Creek. Mackinac. The Bank of Springfield Showcase is today at the Bank of Springfield Center. Springfield Calvary and Peoria Christian, they are underway right now in the first game of the day. Modern Day faces Riverton at 10:30. New Berlin takes on Warrensburg Latham at noon. At 1:30, Rochester faces Glenwood. At 3 o'clock, Springfield High takes on Eisenhower. At 4:30, SHG against Normal U High. At 6 o'clock, Lanphier against MacArthur. And at 7:30, Southeast will face Jacksonville. Girls basketball today, 2:30 varsity start. Springfield Lutheran is at Litchfield. That game will be played in Panther Gym. Originally, this game was to be at Lutheran, moved to Litchfield. It will be in Panther Gym with the Litchfield Super Duels happening in Simmons. Also today, Nokomis at North Mac, Southwestern at Calhoun, Greenville will be at Nashville with Pena at Mount Zion. 3 o'clock today, Pawnee will travel to Buffalo Tri-City. And then a slate of Central State 8 games today, all at 12:30. Rochester at Eisenhower, Jacksonville at Glenwood, Springfield High at Lanphier, MacArthur will be at Normal U High, with Southeast at SHG. Then at 7:30 this evening, Taylorville, they will be on the road at Central A&M. In college basketball last night, women's hoops, Wash U beat Greenville 76-54. Sammy Matush had 11 points and 4 rebounds for Wash U. They will be back in action today, taking on Claremont. And then SIU Carbondale will be at Southeast Missouri State today in women's hoops. And, of course, Abby Brockmeyer taking care of business down in Carbondale. And Sammy Matush has been starting as a freshman for Wash U. So
she's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, those
just a little bit.
Those we were so fortunate to watch those two young ladies play their high school ball in our listening area, and it's great to see them having success at the collegiate level. And you know, Wash U, they're a powerhouse at the D3 level. I think it's D3.
Very good academic school. I know that much.
Top.
Hard to get in there.
Yeah. And they're not. It's not like, say, Kentucky basketball, or perhaps Alabama football, where you can play sports. Hey, come on in.
Yeah.
Scores? Don't worry about those test scores.
Well, I don't think she did not get a full basketball scholarship.
No.
Because those do not exist.
That's right.
In D3 or whatever it is.
That's exactly right. Yeah, she got scholarships, but they're not athletic.
Yeah.
Scholarship.
I don't think she's paying, but yeah.
Yeah. Worked out very well.
Yes, it did. She knows how to basketball.
Yes. Hillsboro's all-time leading scorer, of course. And I was thinking about that earlier this week. Was in Hillsboro for the Carbondale-Hillsboro girls game on Thursday night. And the last time I was in that gym for a Hillsboro girls game was that sectional final against Greenville. And there were fire code violations that night. Had to have been, David.
Filled.
There was people swinging from the rafters.
It's interesting because the rest of the town was empty.
Strange. I don't know what happened. And that was one of those nights. There was actually a line outside waiting for the doors to open.
Yeah.
But you know, that doesn't happen a lot around here for a high school game. But it happened that night. It wound up being a heck of a ball game. But I was thinking about that when I was there on Thursday. Like, this gym was packed the last time I saw it for a girls game. And, you know, we talked about the Tito shootout coming up a week from today at Lincolnwood. Next year it'll be at Hillsboro.
Yeah.
That'll be the third one, and there's some
rotating between the Montgomery County schools and Carlinville.
Right. And I don't want to talk about the third one before we do the second one, but we got some good matchups coming up. So we look forward to seeing you.
We should have a schedule release show next year. I don't think it'll work out because I imagine it'll be released before that.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Okay. Okay.
Let's not.
I was going to rain on my ideas.
Yes.
I have ideas here.
I don't care about your ideas, David. Don't care about them. Your ideas stink.
Whatever. Hey. Go make some phone calls.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Jeremy Smith. He's one of the great IHSA officials. And I just kind of want to talk with Jeremy about some of the rules. You know, there's a lot of rules that get misinterpreted or misunderstood when it comes to the game of basketball. So I just want to talk with Jeremy Smith about that. We will have that conversation when Sports Saturday returns following these messages.
We do have Fighting Illini basketball on the Tally Broadcasting stations today, as Illinois will be at Maryland to take on the number 3-ranked Terrapins. That was a win last year, I believe.
In New York?
Will it be in New York this year?
No, it's at Maryland this year.
Is it at Maryland? Okay. It's going to be tougher. Illinois coming off a very bad loss. Yes, it was only by 2 points, but my goodness. How do you get down by 30 in the first half?
Well, exactly. The final score of that game was very deceiving. And they did have a chance to win it late, but you can't get down like that on the road and expect to win. And just an atrocious start.
And, I mean, I guess you tip your cap at some point because Miami was not missing shots in the first half.
Oh, no, they were unconscious. I mean,
but it seems like that has happened a lot the last couple of years where the opposing team just doesn't miss shots.
That is true.
You got to do something. Stop them. Put a hand in their face.
You know, as I think about it, that game might not be at Maryland. It might be at a neutral site since the game was in New York last year. But New York's not exactly a...
It was a later matchup last year, though. It was later into the conference season.
Yeah. I think it's at Maryland.
Yeah.
David will check for us here in a second. It's the 115th season of Big Ten basketball for Illinois. And they begin it today, 3 o'clock with the pregame on 105.3 The Ox. They're 67-47 all-time in their Big Ten openers. Fourth straight year they start conference play on the road. And they have not beat a top-5 team on the road in 30 years. You got to go back to the Flying Illini in March of 89. They beat third-ranked Indiana. Nick Anderson hit a 35-footer at the buzzer for the Illini that night 30 years ago in March of 1989. So they have their work cut out for them today. 14-game road losing streak against ranked opponents. So they've got a lot of things that they could push aside with a big victory today. Maryland leads the all-time series 9-6. 3 o'clock with the pregame today on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. Well, as we get into the month of December, obviously it becomes full-on basketball season now. We wanted to take this opportunity to talk with one of the great IHSA officials, Jeremy Smith, just kind of about maybe some new rules this year and some rules that get kind of misunderstood as the season goes along. So we say good morning to Jeremy Smith. How's it going, sir?
Good. How are you, Tim?
Hey, doing good. Now, I know you're at your daughter's basketball game. How's that going?
We're averaging about 2 points a ball game through the first four. So let me tell you, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say, that has to be interesting. Now, Jeremy, does Jeremy the dad behave himself when he's sitting in the stands?
You know, being a coach and an official, that's one thing. I've been told by my wife that I will not be that dad or that parent screaming at either one. So, I'm pretty calm at these things. It's just fun to watch.
It's definitely a different feel when you're watching your kid, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely a little bit different. Of course, when we get home, we always have to talk about what she did wrong.
Of course.
She doesn't like to hear that. But, you know.
Jeremy, I wanted to talk to you today about some basketball rules, because you're one of the best officials we are fortunate to have in the state of Illinois.
I appreciate that.
And as we get into basketball season here, you know, a lot of people maybe the over the back, backcourt, block charge, these types of things get confused from time to time. So I want to hit on those here as we continue our conversation. But first, are there any new rules this year or rule tweaks at all?
Nothing really big that anybody, you know, other than officials would, you know, recognize. They've kind of clarified the over and back rule a little bit. But other than that, there's really nothing major to talk about.
As far as the over and back goes, talk about, because 3 points is the key.
3 points, have to be over 2 feet in the ball. And once those get over, of course, can't go back behind the half court unless it's touched by the defense. The change is everybody thinks that the offense has to have possession, but if the offense touches it, you know, if it tips off the defense and then tips off the offense and goes into the backcourt, the offense cannot go back and get it.
They cannot.
Cannot.
So that'll
cannot.
Be over and back.
That would constitute over and back. That touch constitutes possession in this case.
Okay.
So that's the only thing that's kind of been clarified in the preseason meetings and things like that.
In college and NBA, you hear the term freedom of movement a lot. Is that, you know, and that comes in like with the hand checks and, you know, the pressure
right.
type of defense. Is that something that is at the high school level or not so much?
I don't want to talk for other officials by any means. But our crew, you know, me, Dad, Rick, Carl, Dave, as long as, you know, we always say if the kids can play through a little bit of contact, we want them to play through that contact because coaches, parents, they don't want to see us call 50 fouls a ball game.
No.
You know, if a kid can play through the contact, we're going to let him play through as much as possible. For instance, if a guard's dribbling out front and he gets bumped, he plays through it per se, we're going to let it go. Now, if he gets bumped and loses the ball, now we got a problem. We try to get that foul as much as we can.
Is there an advantage gained is usually the way that you look
yep.
at it. If there's no advantage gained,
yep.
let's play on. And as you look at, you know, freedom of motion, those types of things, sometimes people talk about, well, he touched him. Basketball, it's a contact sport. It's not a collision.
Right.
Football's a collision sport. But to think
right.
that basketball is not a contact sport, that's misguided.
Right. And I think, and you know as well as I do, even, I say you're old-timers, but guys that played back in even the 80s, let's say, they were used to it being a less physical ball game. But
mm-hmm.
times have changed. Kids are getting bigger, faster. And you have to let that little bit of contact go or we're going to be here all night. I hate to be like that, but I think most officials would agree that you got to let them play through a little bit of contact just to keep the flow. You know, we always talk about getting a flow in the game. If we're blowing the whistle every time down the floor, there's not going to be that flow to the game.
And I know there'll be different opinions on this, but some people are very hard and fast that if it's a foul in the first minute of the game, it has to be a foul in the last minute of the game. And while in theory, I agree with that, without a doubt.
Right.
But you don't deal in theory, Jeremy. You deal in reality. And the last thing you want to do as an official is have a soft foul called with
Bingo.
Minimal time left and have that affect the game.
Right, right. You know, we always say we're going to protect the shooter at all times. You know, if he gets fouled, it's a foul. But last 30 seconds, we say it better be a good one.
Right.
You know, get a good one if it's there. You know, because, you know, we don't want to decide the game.
Mm-hmm.
Let the kids play. Let the kids decide the game. But if it's a foul, you know, we got to get it just for the simple fact because it is a foul, but it better be a good one.
Playground style. No blood, no foul.
Yeah. No blood, no foul, yeah. I think I've heard some of my baseball players talk about that once the basketball season's over. So
it's
a fun conversation to have.
I bet it is. We're talking with Jeremy Smith here on Sports Saturday. And, Jeremy, the other call that always seems to be 50-50 is the block charge. And this has to be the hardest call in all of sports to make. It's bang-bang. It happens so fast. And talk about legal guarding position, because the defender can be moving and still be in legal guarding
Correct.
Position.
Correct. As long as he's got 2 feet on the floor and in bounds, and he's got legal, you know, what we call legal guarding position, it's typically going to be a charge. Some guys will call it a little bit different here and there, but, you know, that's kind of what you look for, is that legal guarding position. And, you know, the defense has got a right to be in that spot just as much as the offense does. So just because you're right, just because he's moving does not necessarily mean it's going to be a block. Because you can still get a charge out of it.
And maybe the thing – Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, you finish your thought.
And like you said, that is one of the toughest, you know, calls to make in a game is the block charge. Just last night, we were at Carlinville, had Wood River at Carlinville. And I missed a block charge against the Carnival kid. And Coach Suits was really good, just asked a couple questions. Okay, and I, you know, I told him I think I missed it, you know. Fans, I got my booze thrown at me, which is fine. But it is a tough call, and it's you're right, it's a bang-bang, and you make the call, and away we go. We try to keep it consistent at both ends. You know, if we get a charge in one end, you know, not saying we're going to definitely call it a charge at the other end, but, you know, we try to keep it consistent both ends.
Jim, I feel like that, you know, you're a great official, and all the coaches, they love it when you're doing their game because they know it's going to be properly officiated. But what you just said right there, I think probably goes a long way to why coaches like it when you work their game, because you admit if you think you missed it. Sometimes, you know, we can get a little stubborn in life and think, I'm always right. And as an official, right, you have to be real confident in yourself to be able to tell the coach, I think I missed it.
And of course, the flow of the game will constitute, you know, how honest I am with the coach. I hate to be like that, but, you know, if the guy's on my case, every call, and I think I missed one, I ain't going to tell him I think I missed it.
Right.
You know, it's one of those deals where, you know, Coach Suits is a great guy to work for, very sportsmanlike, you know. So when typically when you miss a call with him, you can own up to it, and he'll be okay with it. Mm-hmm. Most coaches are like that. I really can't say that there are many that are not like that. So,
yeah, thankfully around our area, certainly in high school basketball, for the most part, coaches are pretty respectful. You get some of the guys at the collegiate level, they're just screaming like wild people all game long. It's like, hey, you're not going to get the call.
Right. I mean, I can't complain about any coaches we work for around here. They're all really good to work for, you know, good guys on and off the floor, you know, guys that you'd want to go out with and have a beer after the game. Mm-hmm. So it's good. I like working for all these guys.
Jeremy, last thing for you. I think the most common thing I hear at a game is, that's over the back! And one, that's not actually in the rule book, over the back. But it's kind of the law of verticality, I think is how Terry used to put it. You can't penalize a kid because he's taller.
Bingo. And that's what a lot of people want you to do, is just because he's taller than the next guy, if he reaches over the top of him without any contact, it's not a foul.
Yeah.
You know, typically you see parents are more, you know, they're more into that's over the back when it's really not over the back type of thing. I think coaches have a pretty good grasp of what's a foul and what's not in that situation. But I think it's more the parents that don't understand that rule.
So that's the key. If the kid's taller and he just reaches over the top with no contact, there is no foul. If he pushes him in the back, now we're talking about a foul.
Right. And typically, it's your little guards that want to come in there and try and get a rebound that are going to get that quote-unquote, over-the-back foul because they are pushing from behind to gain that advantage, whereas your six foot two center doesn't have to push to get the rebound. It's your smaller guards who are coming in, you know, trying to get a rebound who have to push to get that advantage.
Jeremy Smith, appreciate your time here this morning. We'll let you get back into the gymnasium and take in the game. Don't get kicked out.
No, never. Never. So, Tim, I appreciate the time and appreciate everything you guys do for high school sports.
All right, Jeremy Smith, thank you very much. One of the great IHSA officials, and, you know, we talk about the need for young officials. Jeremy's been doing this a long time now, and there's not a lot of guys around
here.
He's not
that old either.
No, he's not that old. He started when he was very young, and there's just not that many guys younger than him that are coming up. So we need desperately official. So if that is something you are interested in, look into it. I know Louis Lang is always willing to help people out. Really, a lot of our officials around the area. Jeremy, if you're interested, Jeremy would be more than happy to talk with you about officiating. Just if that's something you think you'd be interested in, seriously consider it, because we are going to be in desperate need of officials for all sports sooner rather than later. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will catch up with Greenville head coach Todd Cantrell when Sports Saturday returns.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. We will have Fighting Illini basketball for you coming up this afternoon, 3 o'clock. Live coverage on WAOX 105.3 The Ox as Illinois is at Maryland today. Third-ranked Maryland as Illinois will open up Big Ten play. 115th season of Big Ten basketball.
It is at Maryland, by the way.
It is at Maryland, okay.
And the last time Illinois won a conference opener was 2013, the 2013-14 season. So they haven't won a Big Ten opener in 6 years.
Been a little while.
Yes, it has.
So they do.
Yes, they are.
Yes.
Apparently, these two teams don't like each other, they said, Maryland and Illinois.
Okay.
I don't know why that's a rivalry, but it is.
That's
apparently.
Random. Yeah. That's random. Yeah, whatever. Whatever floats your boat, I guess.
That's what they said.
There you go.
There was a lot of chatter during last year's game. Of course, Illinois won, and now they play again this year.
Yeah. All right. So we'll see what happens. Yesterday at the Kaskaskian Classic in Carlisle, Greenville beat Flora 51-43, so the Comets will play for fifth place today at the Kaskaskian Classic. That'll be a 4:30 tip in Carlisle. I'm going to catch up with Comet head coach Todd Cantrell hopefully here in just a moment. He's been there. This is his 22nd season at Greenville, and the consistency that they have had under Coach Cantrell is remarkable. You know, they've had the great teams, but they rarely have the quote-unquote down year. They are just consistently solid. And every single year when you play Greenville, you know you're going to be in for a big-time challenge. You're going to have to beat them. They are not going to beat themselves more times than not. And we have Todd Cantrell joining us on the phone right now. Good morning, sir.
Morning, guys. How are we doing today?
Hey, we're doing very good, and it's a game day for you. You'll be heading over to Carlisle, and this is an interesting tournament, Todd, because you get outside of Hillsboro. These are teams you're not normally going to see.
Yeah, it's a great tournament for us. It's got a lot of very good programs in it. I mean, we started off playing Pinckneyville and Freeburg, so, I mean, I don't know, you know, who else is going to start, you know, with our size school, going to start out with tradition-rich programs like that, and they're both loaded this year. They're going to be very good at 2A this year, and so it was a tough start for us, and then you get Flora, another tradition-rich program who's just extremely well-coached. I mean, it's got a lot of good basketball. When you look at the other side, and you're looking at Woodlawn and Hillsboro and Carlisle and Oakville, I mean, it's just a loaded tournament to start us off with.
And you've been doing this long enough to know that wins, you know, in late November, early December certainly are nice, and that's the goal. But if you take some losses against programs like that, you find out where your team is at, and it benefits you down the road.
Yeah, we think so, and that's kind of the philosophy we've always had is to do that, to make ourselves better by playing good programs. And we're just looking for any improvement that we can make and make it small improvements and sometimes small steps early. Can lead to some bigger steps later in the year in January and February. So we've enjoyed the tournament. They do a great job of running it, and it's just a lot of good basketball teams, and it puts our guys to the test really early.
I'm curious about your program as a whole. You guys are so consistent at Greenville. You rarely have that down year. You guys are always so solid. What is the key for you in terms of sustaining that type of play?
Well, I think a lot of the credit goes to all of the coaches and all the programs that we have here. We really try to share our athletes, and we're all in this together. We've always taken the philosophy that there's going to be enough enemies out there around us that we need to make sure that we're not enemies within. And so we share our program. We share our kids. We strive to get all of our kids in the weight room. We work out together. We do so many things together, and we've got really good coaches here in all of our programs. I think everything just kind of feeds off each other. We encourage each other. We encourage athletes to play as many sports as they can, to participate in as many things as they can. We feel like that culture has really helped, you know, not just the basketball program, but baseball and football and track and girls basketball and all kinds of other sports where, we feel like we've got a good thing going, and we just want to keep it going as long as we can.
And that is such a great system to be able to have into place. You know, a lot of schools might like to talk that game, but when push comes to shove, they can't pull it off. Well, I want Kid X at my thing. He can't go to your thing. So for you guys to be able to consistently do that is remarkable. And the relationship you have with Todd Hutchinson, I think, obviously is critical to that.
Well, we've grown up together, you know, and yeah. we were friends all the way back through first and second grade. We've got pictures of ourselves with, you know, different birthday parties and just different sporting events that, you know, we've been attending. You can throw Mark Jurgen into that mix also. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've just been doing things together for a long, long time. So for us to end up all, you know, teaching and coaching together here at the high school has been really special. You know, we love football, we love baseball, we love track, we love basketball. We just we want kids to succeed, and a big thing we tell our kids, just be comets. You know, it's not a basketball comet, it's not a football comet. You're just a comet, and if you can do things right on and off the field, and you can take care of things in the classroom, and we feel like if we can get kids to work, and then we're going to really be successful on the floor and on the athletic fields as well. So we just got a good thing going, and certainly the relationship that we've built within the coaches and the coaching staff has been tremendous for us.
Talking with Todd Cantrell, the head coach of the Greenville boys basketball program. Coach, talk to us a little bit about some of your key contributors on this year's squad.
Yeah, we've got some kids. You know, we're a little young. This is the first time I've ever had this. This is my 22nd year as the head coach. We don't have a senior on the team.
Oh, wow.
We're only going to have one anyway with Isaac Green. But then, unfortunately, with that last football, the playoff, you know, he was unfortunately broke his leg. Mm-hmm. It was a really bad break. You know, had to have surgery, was not able to play in the playoff game, and is going to miss the entire season. So we're going into it with zero seniors. I've never had that before. But we've got a good group of juniors and sophomores who are ready to work and willing to work and ready to take the next step. So we're looking for improvement any way we can with some of these young guys. And, you know, we feel like that, you know, after Christmas, we get into January, February, these guys are going to be ready to play the way that we want them to play and to do the things that we want to do that we think can make us successful.
And it seems like the South Central Conference this year on the boys' side, it's going to be a slugfest.
I think it is. I think we've got some really good coaches in South Central, and we've added a couple new guys to Carlinville and Staunton, and they're going to do a really good job as well. But I just think as a unit, if you look at all the teams, you're going to see some scores on given nights that, you know, may shock some people outside the conference, but I don't think you're going to shock anybody inside the conference, because top to bottom, I think you've got programs that can win, you've got teams that can win, and just good coaches that are doing good things with their programs. So that's going to make winning in the conference very, very tough, and I think you're going to see some very balanced scoring and some very balanced teams this year.
The Comets will be playing Carlisle today for fifth place at the Kaskaskian Classic. And, Coach, kind of as you look at the game today, keys for the Comets to come out with the W.
Yeah, we've got to defend their bigs. Their bigs do a very good job of being active, but then they've also got some kids that can just stand still and shoot it from three. So I think defending the bigs and rebounding is going to be a big thing, but then also making sure you get the hand back in the face of the three-point shooter. So, you know, we've got to do some things. We've got to scrap and claw and do some things. We're going to be undersized at the post. We're going to be undersized all year, but certainly we're going to be undersized today. Our kids did a good job at that last night against Flora. That was a big key to us picking up a win, was making sure that we were able to defend the post and rebound. So kind of the same thing today. They've got some shooters that can really get hot, and playing in their home gym is a big advantage for them. So we'll see what we can do. We're going to do a shoot around here in a little bit and talk some Carlisle and hopefully go over there with a lot of energy and effort and see if we can come away with a win.
Now the real question, Todd. When you were kids, who was winning the pickup games between you and Hutch?
It was a battle. I tell you, it was a battle. He was a Magic Johnson guy. I was a Larry Bird guy. And we would go at each other in the driveway some of these young guys may have to Google some of those names, but it was good. It was a battle all the time, and there was blood involved occasionally, but it was always good when you can play against your buddies. We've just been very lucky, the three of us together with Mark Jurgen, Hutch, and myself. We've just been very lucky, very fortunate to grow up together and continue to be friends and then continue to work together and coach together. It's just been a real blessing for us all.
Awesome. Todd Cantrell, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir, and best of luck against Carlisle.
Hey, thanks for calling, guys. We appreciate it.
All right, Todd Cantrell, the head coach of the Greenville Comets. They will play Carlisle for fifth place in the Kaskaskian Classic today. That's at 4:30. Hillsboro will play at 3 o'clock for seventh place. They will take on Flora, the championship game there. It's fantastic. Pinckneyville against Woodlawn. That'll be about 7:30 tonight. Fighting Illini basketball for you today, 3 o'clock on the Ox at Maryland, the Big Ten opener for the Illini. I think we'll find out next week what bowl game Illinois will be playing in.
It might be tomorrow.
It might be tomorrow.
Okay. I think there's a press conference tomorrow.
Tomorrow's technically next week, Devin.
It's true. But I think there's a press conference tomorrow. They're going to be announcing it soon. It's already known. They know where they're playing. They know who they're playing, but they haven't announced it yet.
It won't be a New Year's Day bowl.
No.
That we know.
There are a couple of New Year's Day bowls that are like, I don't know how to describe them, not marquee.
Not the Rose Bowl?
Yes. They're like the Humanitarian Bowl and the International Bowl or whatever it is. Those might go after
the Poinsettia Bowl?
Yeah. No, that's usually the kickoff of bowl season.
Oh, is that the first one?
It's one of the first ones, yeah. The San Diego Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl.
The first of 6,000 bowl games.
That's right.
Coming at you.
They don't even want to play in them anymore.
It's over.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks to Jeremy Smith and Todd Cantrell for joining us this morning on Sports Saturday. And, of course, we are a week away from the second annual T-Toad Shootout versus Cancer. Next Saturday, we tip off the first of 8 games at 9:30. At Lincolnwood High School. We look forward to seeing you out at the second annual T-Toad Shootout versus Cancer next week. For David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville.